Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do so each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program there right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 a.m. entitled Searching the Scriptures on Public Access Channel Number 6 on your TV. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find our television program out there that you can look at, and also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only responsibility and the only thing we want from you is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you with your walk with God, please do not hesitate to call upon us. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of the sin of division. And last week, we concluded the part one and two of this series by looking at attitudes. In order to avoid the sin of division, we have to have the proper attitudes in order to maintain peace, unity, and one-mindedness. But as we said when we began the study of the sin of division, attitudes are important, but the second part of this that is just as important to avoid division is doctrine. Doctrine and truth are equally important in order to avoid division. A good attitude combined with error is not acceptable to God either. You can have a good attitude, but if you're not teaching the truth, if you're not practicing the truth, it will do you little good. Let us begin by reading 2 John verses 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Notice the word doctrine here. The word doctrine here refers to teaching. It refers to the teaching of Christ. Other warnings are given by God concerning the danger of false doctrine. Let us listen to God's word as He warns about the danger of false doctrine. Galatians chapter 1. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8, Colossians chapter 2, in verse number 8, Paul warned, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verses 3 through 5, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicions, useless wranglings, of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, There is a lengthy reading, but we're going to read it because I want you to understand the danger of teaching that which is false, that which is contrary to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. There are those also, beginning in verse 1, that are false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has been idle, and the destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who would afterward live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by their filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and who despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Wherein angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are both blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray according to the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked by his own iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried about by a tempest, for one whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, and the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he also is brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better, had they not known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to wallowing in the mire. These warnings given by God in the Scripture show the danger of false teaching and error, things that are not according to the doctrine of Christ. Error must be opposed, and truth must be spoken in love, according to Ephesians 4:15. Many popular religious movements overlook the doctrine and have unity solely based on love and warm, fuzzy feeling, united with each other, but sadly not united with the Lord. Some division is necessary because people will not preach the word and will not maintain their faithfulness to God's word. Read 1 Corinthians 11:19 and also 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Yet do we know how to rebuke in love and avoid bitter division? This only is pleasing to God. Let us understand something. Doctrine is of utmost importance. It matters what you believe. It matters what you teach. It matters what you practice. The religions around us, even in our own community here, believe that they can have umbrella unity. And what I mean by that is they can differ on doctrine. They can differ on what the worship of the true church is. They can worship on what the work of the church is. They can differ on how a man is saved. They can differ on how he lives his life. They can differ on whether he can be married and divorced. They differ on how he treats his fellow man. They differ on a variety of things. And they say it is of no importance. But the only thing that unites us and the only thing that keeps unity and peace and harmony is to love God, to love each other, to be merciful, to be gracious, and to believe in God and his Son and his death on the cross. And that unites us, and that's how we maintain unity. Ladies and gentlemen, it is false. Yes, all those things are necessary, but it is also necessary that we teach the same thing, that we walk in the same path. In Philippians chapter number 2, in Philippians chapter number 2, in verse number 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You see, we have to walk in the same path. We have to walk by the same pattern. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, for you have a pattern. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we be of the same rule and the same mind? How do we walk by the same course? We all follow the same book. Ask yourself this, my friend. How is it that we all claim to love God, to love his Son, to believe in his sacrifice, to accept his sacrifice, know that we're saved by the blood of Christ? And how is it that we all claim to love his book, yet we all do things differently? We have different ways of worshiping God. We have different ways of working and doing the Lord's work in his church. We call ourselves by different names. We have different understandings about a variety of things. And yet we all claim allegiance to God's word. We all claim that it is the only authority of what we do and what we say and what we practice. Yet our actions are different. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not God's pattern, and God will not accept it. Unity and can only be achieved by following the same rule, by following the same teaching of Christ. The Bible is God's book. It is not to be tampered. It is not to be changed. It is not to be amended. And anyone who would tell you that it doesn't matter what you teach and what you practice has never, ever got that from the Bible. They have never read it, because it does not say that. It says just the opposite. As we conclude today, I want to wish all our listening audience a happy Thanksgiving on this Thursday. As you gather around with your family and you thank God for your blessings, remember that what God wants more than anything else is he wants you to love him, he wants you to believe in him, and he wants you to obey him. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and please tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a blessed day.